course. Glad to have you back here tonight. As we dig in, tonight, the third hour is very vital for this reason. The issue concerning, verification issues, being set up in the context of things, how things can be altered with programming, denial, you know, programming and things like that, disinformation, as we already mentioned. And the perpetrators have a big issue about covering up, and that's the false memory syndrome. We're going to do a 1 hour on that in a few weeks with mind control specialists, Dr. Orne, Dr. Jolly West, and even a guy connected to Nambula. So you have in the False Memory Foundation that went after all these cases in the 90s, suing people because, you know, the interesting thing is who founded that organization. So we're going to find out more about that down the road. There's one request to put in the actual link to the case law concerning the case in Mansfield. If that's referring to Mansfield, then the answer is yes. I appreciate you saying that. Go ahead and put that link in. This link that's going to be put in is a link that goes straight to the case law concerning the case down in Mansfield. So we're going to allow you to do that tonight. Once again, welcome everybody to the third hour on this seventh week in this training class. We have 9 weeks total for the first half. And then we may take a week's break, and then a second half. At the end of the second 9 weeks, we're going to have a training locally here. We'll tell you more about that on the way. Glad you're here tonight. Don't forget again to look at the main site behind all of this, shatterthedarkness.net. If you're listening for the first time, you can catch up. You can get all the last 6 weeks. We have an archives with all of it. And actually, the archives, when it comes to just the direct lectures or sessions, a lot better quality than Blog Talk. So go to shatterthedarkness.net and look where it says today, right underneath that, the occult crimes class. Click on that. It shows you how to go to archives, and there you have it. The workbook is it's definitely not necessary. It's not, you know, you don't have to have that. But the other side of the picture is, I'm telling you that the things that you're going to get in this course is, you know, it's just not out there if you're going to be involved. And I'm grateful there's many of you that want to be more involved and look at things. And that's vital. I'm deeply appreciative of Tom and seeing what he's doing down there, because the truth is God is getting a hold of people to do, like with Ezekiel, to go in. And you're going to see detestable, ugly things. But God wants to use our lives at times to bring out exposure, you know, long before it is so vast. I mean, think about the three girls in Cleveland, 10 years they're tucked away. If it was just human trafficking, that's horrific enough. But now they're involving the fact that they may have been breeders of babies. Babies are dead. Babies are buried under the ground. So the FBI is up there, law enforcement's up there, and they're just digging away. And we're going to have to take a hard look at this concerning any kind of satanic or ritual overtone issues. Other than that, the very least, is the worst, human trafficking, and three girls, 10 years. I mean, really, really, truly, there is no question about it. Horrific. You know, this is the kind of stuff that happens. We're in the third hour tonight. We're on page 77, top of the page where it says set up, a special notice. I'm giving you special notice tonight that if you get to involve yourself in classes or into actual engaging people and so forth, there is a necessary issue concerning the issue that you may be set up. So going to ask you to take some time tonight to focus a little bit, watch anybody, you know, distracting us and sending us off in different locations. Tonight, it's very, very important that we hear this information, because I know some of you are going to be on the trail of helping victims. and also then bringing some exposure to the other side. Page 77 of the workbook, top of the page, it says set up. And then it says this, quote, here are some examples of being set up in the intervention and investigation of satanic ritual crimes. Now, number one, this is important. Number one, hear me clearly on this. The plot. If you are going to begin to deal with this subject at all, it's very possible that they will identify you and send somebody in to either play as though they're a victim, send somebody in to be among you. That's not a strange thing. We just found out tonight that the guy, Ariel, that abducted these girls and so forth, and one of the main guys anyway, that he's up there. In the, you know, 10 years ago, he's in the crowds where all the people that were going to be looking for where these girls went, and looking for evidence, everything else, they're now showing pictures. He was involved in all that, which means he was learning all of what they were looking for and, you know, hearing and, you know, seeing if anybody knew anything. So please realize that in the context of dealing with satanic ritual abuse, crimes and so forth and victims, that that the plot may be someone being sent in to simply, even a victim that comes in, the upfront personality can be, please help me, but a sub person may have been assigned to come to you to begin to observe you, to see what you know, to report back. So that's very important. They infiltrate the church. They infiltrate law enforcement. They infiltrate military. They infiltrate to do those kind of things. Because they want to see what you know. They, when I was recruited to be in law enforcement, when I was recruited to, you know, here I am allowed to teach in police academy. Then I was finally told what I thought was true. It was done purposely so that they could see what I would know, what I was going to share, what I would teach. Because the person that recruited me, an officer, ended up total high complex, military oriented, multiple, out of law enforcement now, but we still stay in touch because we've tried to help them to this very day. Another issue is a law enforcement agent out of Northern Ohio gets a call from a victim that starts to engage him because they read an article he wrote on satanic rituals and so forth, and actually they were sent out of another state to come in and begin to find out what the officer knew, to come and act like the victim, to come and tell stories, but they were scooping information and to take back. So it's very important that when you're dealing with victims or anybody that seems to out of the blue show up, just out of nowhere, someone shows up and comes to your church or comes to your, you know, and starts talking and they're, what's going on? Oh, I heard about this. Let me know what's happening. It may be that the Coven side has actually sent people in to dig in to see what you know and that kind of thing. Point number two. They may watch you. Now, this is important because we didn't know this in the beginning until we started getting pictures sent to us in the mail where they took pictures of us. Or in a conference in Mansfield, Ohio that Tom Dunn did, where he wanted me to speak on ritual abuse and the Black Awakening and the issues like that. We knew, because we had our team in there, but we knew that some folks came in that were from the underground. And sure enough, they recorded my session. Just mine, they recorded my session, sent it off to somebody in Texas, and then that individual sent it to me saying that they wanted me to know that they were in the audience in the conference. But they actually got identified and caught at the end of the conference. Nevertheless, they were there to watch, to listen. And here's what we learned. As we are hiding out the federal officer's wife, as we are trying to protect this multiple, we find out that people show up, like at our place where we're hiding them out, and asking questions like they want directions. Uncanny, weird things. Then when we did counter-surveillance, we caught them. For example, one night watching the federal officer, we had this whole setup going on to where the officer or the federal officer's wife was hidden out, but we were staking out her apartment. And sure enough, this car comes around three, four times, five times, six times. So we sent one of our cars after it. The person took off, and they went following after them all over the place. Finally, in Kenmore, Ohio, a girl gets out, runs away, gets picked up by another car, and they take off. The car sits there for 2 days, so we call the police. Police came. Sure, you know what? Guess what? It was stolen. And so one of the Coven members had a stolen car and had come to stake out to watch us, you know, do all of this. So that's very, very important. When you're dealing with it, you may have somebody coming by your house, getting information. You might have somebody new show up at church. Out of the blue, maybe you catch somebody, and we've caught three times someone taking pictures of our house. And back in that time when we had law enforcement friends and was there, we had them run plates and found out things. So that's pretty important for us to realize, is that in the midst of working with real victims, the guarantee is, number one, they may send somebody just to, you know, be like a spy on the inside and watch and observe. Secondly, they will watch you at times. They want to know a lot of things about you, where you work, you know, all kinds of stuff. And there's a reason for that. Point number three, watch out for crisis phone calls. Okay. Watch out for crisis phone calls. Number one tonight, when setup comes, they plot and send somebody in simply to start an observation information. Number two, they actually will watch, take pictures where you're at, so they can call the Coven and say, hey, he's over here on this side of the city while they're doing stuff on the other side of the city. They'll report in. Actual watchers. They're called watchers. Number three, crisis call. Out of nowhere, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning, you get a phone call, the victim or somebody, please come down to such and such corner, come down to the alleyway over here, come over here next to the woods, please help me, come and help me, please hurry, help me, there's no time, help me right now. And so you may get a crisis call from a victim that you're working with. It may be the sub person. It may be a sub part of them. They may be under duress or being forced to make the call. So you jump up out and, you know, throw your clothes on and you run in your car and you go taking off. Watch out that you're not set up to be abducted, to be beaten, to be threatened. You get up and leave your house and take off. Watch out that you don't come back and your house is been broken into. So watch out for an uncanny crisis call, even from a victim or a subpart. Very important that you keep protocols, like, you know, you're going to have somebody with you. You're going to have others to help you. You're going to, you know, you need to really be careful. And let me say also in point number three, when it comes to crisis calls and so forth, if you're working with real SRA victims and you are working with people who are really multiple, then the multiple can have a subpart that is a runner. And right at 11 o'clock, this has happened, or a phone call comes in, the runner switches up and takes off. This has happened so many times, and almost every case, none of us could catch them. Again, programmed and maybe even demonized, they take off running, only get, you know, because the sub personality is programmed to get the body away, to get them away, to get them back to the Coven. They know what phone call, you know, they know where to go and get to a phone and make a phone call for the Coven people to come and pick them up. And that has happened again and again and again. So when you learn that, you got to watch out that you really have to protect. And physically, we've had to hold back runners until we talk them down and tell them, you know, you're just programmed. You're just being told to do this. And they'll say, you got to let me go. You got to let me go. I got to get to the coven. They're going to, if I don't get to the coven, I'll get punished. So you have runners that know that they're going to get punished if they don't get the body away from you into the, and so that's part of what you're going to have to deal with. But watch out for the setup here when it comes to a crisis to where you have to run out, nobody else around, and you may get set up. Very important. Number four under this point, they're out showing you places, they're out giving you information, and all of a sudden they lead you down an alley where you can't turn around. They lead you into a building in which doors behind you close. So you got to make sure what personality you're dealing with. You got to make sure that, and we're going to talk about the five protection factors here in a moment. You've got to make sure, big helicopter going over this research center right now. you got to make sure that who you're dealing with. So if you have somebody that's shown you things and shown you things and shown you things, I'm going to give you an honest, real tactic, and we learn the hard way. Sometimes some personalities will begin to give you basic information. It looks trustworthy, and then a little bit more, then all of a sudden they're going to take you down into this building, down these somewhere where there's no escape, and set you up. And trouble can occur right there. That happened when we were in Cleveland. The federal officer's wife was missing. We were up looking. So I disguised myself in a vehicle. I got into a different vehicle. They knew our vehicles. They took pictures of our vehicles. They knew when our vehicles were around. And their methods were, because one of them had a small car lot, they would constantly change cars. We learned how they did this. But for us, they took pictures of our cars, and we don't have access to all kinds of vehicles. So you might want to think in terms of a surveillance vehicle, a different vehicle, something that you can really be covert in. But we're in Cleveland, close to Seymour Street, by the way, where the three girls were. And we're looking for the federal officer's wife. The phone calls are coming into the home of the federal officer. And so we finally get one of them to tell us where this woman is at. So what I did is I took somebody else's car. I completely put a disguise hat, all the stuff on me, to where I was not really recognizable in the car. I drove down to the area there in Cleveland, and I actually came up to where the so-called house was that they wanted me to go. Here you got this guy named Emilio Patricio. They were said to be from South America. And there they were hiding. One of them had no shirt on, all massive tattoos. They were hiding, had a knife. And but we called in one of the districts of Cleveland police. And all of a sudden, four cop cars come in. And I stop, take off my, disguise, get out of my car. And, of course, that guy took off one way. One of the other ones took off another way. And then we know one went up the stairs. So we went up the stairs. All of a sudden, we're finding where the code name Coco or coven name Coco. The officers come in. They go pounding on her door, pounding and pounding and pounding. And they finally tell her, if you don't open the door, we're going to break it down. So she opens the door. They walk in. Then when I walked in, she was stunned that I got in there. The entire room was nothing but ritual stuff. In the voodoo, cantabile, that form of Satanism and spells and so forth. It was just packed, the whole place. Money on the floor, vials, little vials of blood and feathers and things and all kinds of stuff, and very dark in there. And the officers, they didn't even know what to make of it. Then when the officers got a call, they found the federal officer's wife the next street over. So, of course, we all go leaving there. But sure enough, it was a setup. It was a setup to draw me particularly out, or any of our guys out, and it was all to get come to a place. Now, if I went by myself to that building, if I went up those stairs towards that priestess's door, then if those other guys would have come in behind me, I had no way out. Number five. It's very possible that a subpersonality, when you're working with the SRA MPD, a subpersonality inside could be completely committed to the cult, completely committed to the coven stuff, and be assigned and or programmed to harm you, to hurt you, or to kill you. A subpersonality can be assigned to kind of try to sexually compromise you, come after you that way. If that won't work, to switch personality and that dark personality come up to harm you. In one case, with the federal officer's wife in the federal officer's home in Cleveland. When I was asked to walk into the other room with this victim, they switched personalities to a personality named Iris. Within seconds, Iris pulled out a 6-7-inch big, thick needle from the sash around her waist. And if it was not for the Spirit of God that said instantly she's going to, stab you, I instantly backed, my chest away, and she tried to stab into my chest with this 7-inch thing. Now, of course, we grabbed it. I threw her literally backwards, and she's yelling. The officer comes in. Another one of the workers, security guys, comes in. It's a big battle. A demonic manifestation occurs. We deal with that. The federal officer, seen everything, was holding his wife. When the demonic stuff was there, the subpersonalities were there, he freaked out. Started crying because he just couldn't handle what was going on. He finally, he had to divorce. He left her. So five is an assigned subpersonality that's supposed to harm you. They can be programmed and or threatened, and or it may be that they are so coven committed that they want to hurt you. Programmed to harm, programmed to kill, programmed to compromise you. They're just coming in to offer themselves. And that can happen. They can offer you money. They can offer you sex, anything to corrupt you. So those are setup issues, okay? Part five, a personality can be trained, programmed, and sent in, inside the person to harm you. So that's where, in the middle of things, you got to be really aware. The main person wouldn't, but if they're still controlled deeply on the inside by the subparts, it's very possible. I'm at a mind control conference in Richmond, Virginia in the early 90s, and I'm listening to psychologists and others tell us about, how there's a multiple, in their office, and they switched personality, and they got up and just smashed the glass table, and another one, they threw something at their head. One of my guys had a psychiatrist who was an SRA multiple unhealed come in and look right at the pastor and say, "Someone in me wants to take the metal lamp and bash your head in." So you got subparts that are cult loyal that hate Christians, subparts that are cult loyal that are demonized and can be programmed to switch, come up and hurt you. And usually they want to, they want to somehow get you by yourself. That's always a key factor. They want you out there by yourself. So those five things important for the setup. Let me give you five important factors in protection. Five important factors in protection. Question real quick, how many have you been able to rescue? We've seen quite a few rescued, and some of that's ongoing. Some that no longer have personalities with triggers, they've been healed. Nobody can call them, trigger them out. They don't get called back to the covens. So the more healing and the more everything is the programming is being broke down, everything, the less of any of that stuff is possible. In the middle of page 77, here are the five factors to help in protecting you from setups and things that can occur. And you might want to mark down also Isaiah 58. The glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Bottom line, glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Point number one, knowing and praying. Point number one, knowing and praying. 25 years ago, I didn't have this information. We were learning the hard way. I'm giving you what we've learned the hard way, and we've learned now later others the same thing. Knowing about how satanic ritual abuse works, knowing about how this happens, knowing about, how subpersonalities work and the possibilities that are there, or them drawing you out to some back alley or a crisis call in the middle of the night for you to come alone. So very important. Take a look at all of Isaiah 58, by the way. That's, I know the question's up, but 58 about true fasting. And you'll, as you're reading through about what a true fast is, and you and I are called to give ourselves, to break the yoke, to really help people, you're going to find where when we do that, the glory of the Lord will be our rear guard. So take a look at that in context, Isaiah 58, true fasting. Knowing and praying is number one. So, you got to be prayed up. If you get a call in the middle of the night, please come and help me. I'm on such and such street. I'm by myself. Come right now. You don't have any time to call anybody. Well, that's a red flag. And you need to, be prayed up. Lord, should I do this? Lord, I was in that officer's house. If I would not have been kind of attuned and already kind of guarded at the moment, but the Spirit of God said, she's going to stab you. I mean, just that quick. And instantly, before she could do it, but she was fast. You got to understand, subparts can be very, very fast. Point number two in protection. Point number one is knowing and praying. That's bottom line, please. Number two, believing the stories, but with discernment. Believing the stories, but with discernment. Whether in Mansfield, in the West Memphis case, in the Ripper case in Chicago, in the McMartin, in the two girls out of Alliance, in the Jackie Cooper case in Akron, and more and more and more. When I have victims come to me, when children come to you and say, so-and-so put this in my bottom, or so-and-so did this, and shows you how and shows you stuff, little kids shouldn't know that kind of stuff unless someone showed them or it was done to them. So I'm saying, yes, believe the stories. Believe the stories, but with discernment. And you have a right for that, to test the spirits. I mean, that's in the context of testing the spirits, whether false doctrine, false teaching, whether it's coming from the enemy. I said 1 John chapter 4. But believe stories because, victims on the inside, they want you to believe. If you're not even going to believe them, they don't even want to take the time and they don't want to take the risk of being punished. So believe, but with discernment. Now, that takes us to point three, verification. Some people, I'm going to tell you now, don't like our policy or our protocol of verification. There are times that I ask cult loyal personalities that want to tell us stuff or show us stuff or take me somewhere to give me more information first. There's stories that I hear that if I have checks in my spirit, if I really feel discerning wise, I need to really check this out. I want to ask more questions. And any victim, anyone that really wants to tell, anybody that really wants to share the real information, they'll want to give more information. They shouldn't be alarmed. So if you get some cult part or some part on the inside, or someone calls you on a phone secretively and they begin to tell you something and you ask them more questions and then instantly they get mad and then you got to wonder whether, they're really wanting to tell you and really wanting to, and I would say to victims that you got to allow verification. If things are real, the proof's of the pudding, it'll come about. That's how we've seen this over the days, So, that's what happened in Ezekiel 28. Real stuff was going on. God took him, but it took a process of leading and supernaturally cutting in and taking him, showing him a little bit, and then telling him, and then showing him more, and then telling him, I'm going to show you more. And eventually God led the willing prophet all the way to the perpetrators. Okay? So that's what we're talking about. Thank you. I appreciate in the classroom here, Isaiah 58:8. The whole context of what a true fast is and how we as believers, that's a major chapter God spoke to me years ago concerning working with helping to break the yoke, every yoke, and help individuals. But I saw that in the context that God promises healing, God promises to lead us, God promises to protect us from behind. The glory of the Lord will be our rear guard or protect us from. And so I trust the Lord. I have to. Though I want to use discernment, and though I want verification at times and want more, sometimes I don't move. So if I move on every single time I get information, I'm running everywhere like a chicken with his head cut off, okay? So what we do now is we take information, we put information down, we data bank information, we're praying about information. Say I get information that there's no way I can verify, nothing I can do about it. Well, that goes on a piece of paper, we begin a case. And I want more information, so I'm prayer mapping that. What do I mean by prayer mapping? I write down the information they give me on a piece of paper, and I'm saying, Lord, give me insight. Lord, give me discernment. Is there anything else about this? Anything you want to show me, Lord? Any scripture verse you want to give me concerning this? Then I will continue to ask questions. Now, what happens is if I do it that way, sometimes right away I get more information or confirmation. I get a call from somebody else that tells me that didn't know the first person, corroborating evidences, you know. We find out more. And then if we get more information and more verification, then we, you know, really have something to go after. And that's, you know, so sometimes when I only have a little bit of information, write it down, put it up in prayer. You know, someone says, hey, there's something going on over here in Youngstown, Ohio. And, you know, okay, what's happening? Well, these guys, there's a racially abused person here, and I know this is going on. Okay, write all that down. But if there's nothing, if I don't have a victim to talk to, if I don't have someone like that, I might have to just put that on a piece, you know, and start a case file. But pray that God will open up more, that God will give you more, that God will give verification. There's times that we've seen stuff sit for 6 months, then all of a sudden get information that just opens things up wide. That's what I think is going to happen with Tom down in Mansfield. As he's going back over this case, it's a cold case to some, but the victims that were and the perpetrators, when they don't get stopped, they continue. That's usually it. They continue. That's how it is with serial rapists, serial murderers. Look at Dahmer. Look at John Wayne Gacy. You do know that those were all multiples. These guys were multiple subpersonalities. You know that, right? Read the book Programmed to Kill by Thomas McGowan. Programmed to Kill by Thomas McGowan. That's part of the overall course recommendation. It's on our page concerning this. It helps give insight to this. Ted Bundy was a multiple. Subparts that did the killing, the raping, the dismemberment, the killings, and all the rest. Jeffrey Dahmer inside of his apartment, though nobody else, not even the documentary tells you, but I saw at Death Tech the inside pictures of his apartment. The power cone made out of human skulls and a satanic altar made out of human thigh bones. So you got to understand, they didn't know how to break into Dahmer. They didn't know how to get to the subparts. They didn't know how to, you know, talk to cult loyal ones, demonized ones. And of course, bottom line is people just killed him and got rid of him. But it wasn't just him alone. He was out of control, of course. So was John Wayne Gacy. So was Ted Bundy. So some of these cases that we suspected, all of a sudden, Thomas, you know, McGowan comes out in the book Programmed to Kill to give definition. Even the case in Matamoros, where even a college student, United States college student, was abducted, ritually used and abused badly, dismembered. Listen, I know this is horrible. Listen. The cultist down there boiled down his body. One of the occultists was wearing the college kid's human spine around his neck as a charged object to keep the cops away in the Matamoros case. Matamoros, Texas. It's public news now. We actually saw the slides and the pictures and the big workbooks that officers brought in from the Matamoros case. But that's the truth of what some of this is. So, number three, verification. If it's really true and there's more stuff to it, I find that God gives us more insight. Just like the Ezekiel thing, point by point, step by step, more information, more information, more information. God had a goal of leading Ezekiel all the way to the faces of the perpetrators. And I'm telling law enforcement agents and others, you, if you're a believer, you can use prayer to help solve cases, I believe. You can ask God about justice and about finding perpetrators, and especially in the context of ritual crime, to break through the supernatural secrecy as you're working your way through the physical secrecy. Verification, very important. Number four, teams. Jesus sent people. You ever read in Ecclesiastes, two is better than one, if one falls down the other? You know, two is better than one in the first place. But I'm going to tell you something very important in this work. I mean, even Jesus, when it came to evangelism, you know, he set people out in Luke's gospel by twos. And you look at the book of Acts, mainly, there's a few times exceptions, mainly they went out in teams together. And so pastorally for years and in Shatter, I love seeing teams. I had a team of five, including myself, last Friday night, five of us that went to an area up north of here that I believe is a place of dark, dark, heavy-duty satanic ritual power that is associated with being against some local church. I'm just now entering this one. This is a brand new case, and we have a lot to do concerning it for verification. So right now, I'm in the process of verification, praying for God to give more. But I also had team to go up there, and I'm also taking a team, well, I'm not going to say when, shortly, But I love working with teams. You've got friends to pray with. You've got people to back you up. You've got, you just have a better ability in their teams as far as even protection issues, but more abilities, more prayer, more giftings, more discernment. That's number four. Try to build, if you're going to get involved, get somebody to work with you. Get a team. If you want to start off, begin a prayer team on this stuff. And then consider, you know, training, the development, so forth. Question in the classroom, do you have any women on your teams? It's mostly guys, but yeah, last Friday we had one of the girls with us, worked with a PI, knows investigative work. And we've had others before. Every once in a while my wife does things too, but she has ministry and does other things. But so it doesn't matter to me. But here's what I will say matters. If you're a team leader and if you're going to be working cases, you got to make sure everybody knows the cost. There could be trouble. We're going to talk about that here in a few minutes. The next page we're going to go into, page 79, we're going to do retaliation from the demonic side, retaliation from the perpetrators. So you need to hear this. You need to know this now. Everybody in law enforcement knows that if you go after drug people, I mean, you can get people that, if you're going after some serious stuff, you can get people to come, you know, threaten you, come after you. But we'll talk about that in a moment. Five factors in health protection. I want you to mark down Isaiah 58 and know it well. Let God speak to you. Under protection, number one, knowing and praying. Number two, believing the stories you're told, but with discernment. Number three, verification, and at times demanding verification and seeking the Lord. If it's all real, verification will come. Number four, having a team built. Number five, learn surveillance tactics. But when you do use real surveillance tactics, sitting in cars watching, observing, having a team of two people. We used to call it piggybackers. For example, we'd have some really serious coven person that wants to meet with me. Okay, I'll meet you at Borders Bookstore. Meet in a public place, cup of coffee in front of everybody, sitting over to the side. We'll meet over there. But there's times that I already had somebody in the store or somebody outside the store observing the parking lot if anybody else was observing us. That's been done at the conferences I've been at, where I have teams inside, people inside, that watch and pray and look for anybody who's there to target, you know, me or to cause trouble. In surveillance, I have, and so forth, in meetings with even undergrounders, we call it piggybackers. That is, individuals that are trained to watch your back. And I don't always have that. And in that federal officer's house, when I was asked by the person to come into the other room because the inside cult person, Iris, wants to talk to me, nobody knew the plot. I didn't trust Iris. But when we got in the other room by ourselves, see what they wanted me by myself, in the other room by myself. That's where they wanted to try to stab me. I could tell you a couple other stories where attempted murder. And verified with officers coming in to take the person out. Okay? So, surveillance, no understanding, tracking and observing, and that's I'm only giving that now. That's a course in itself. You can get some PI material and look at a PI book. I've got numerous, investigative books, books on profiling, all kinds of stuff that I can look through to then take what I feel the Lord can give me to use in the context of, on the one hand, helping the victims, on the other hand, exposing perpetrators. Now, we got about 20 minutes left tonight, and it's very important. there you go. You're right. When it comes to surveillance sometimes, 99% of it can be. I mean, there's nights that we're there 4 hours drinking coffee, waiting, nothing happens. Other times, all hell breaks loose. Good things occurred. God gives insight. Other times. But you got to do the work. You got to do that. But prayerfully, that's why these are some of the factors that can help you. Now, I'm going to give you at the bottom of the page, page 77, where it says, what example does Russ give concerning becoming aware of setups out of the book of Acts? Two things, quickly. Acts chapter 5. Completely spiritual in a sense, Ananias and Sapphira conspired together to lie. Satan enters them and tries to get into the church through them. Peter standing there now, filled with the Holy Spirit, probably a word of knowledge or discernment, and guess what? Gets stopped right at the door. You read Acts 5 in understanding how Satan likes to get in and through people. He likes to be in and work through program personalities that are trained or programmed to be coven committed. Another one out of the book of Acts is Acts chapter 23. When they found out there was a plot, you read this yourself, chapter 23, verse 16. They were made aware, they found out there was a plot that people were waiting lying in wait. They were going to harm Paul, if not kill him. And the disciples had to take Paul outside to the wall of the city and lower him through a basket. But God can sometimes give you the heads up for the sake of the victim, trouble coming towards them, that God can help you find out a plot against the victim, a plot against your church, a plot against you. And you got to act appropriately then. You got to take measures, countermeasures. I wrote in the last part of the book of the Black Awakening a lot about countermeasures. And that's exactly what occurs in Acts 23:16, countermeasures. Now listen, I know it's 2.5 hours or so, but we got to ramp it up a little bit tonight. Page 79, we have 15 minutes to give you vital, preemptive, heads up, really good stuff to protect you, okay? Page 79, top of the page, it says, on guard for retaliation from the demonic and or from perpetrators. So again, after 25 years, 26 years, 27 on the field directly, there is a price to pay. Count the cost. You know, don't go out and try to build a great big building and not have enough bricks. Okay? So it's vital that you keep studying, keep learning, keep growing, getting stronger. Acts 9:22, keep getting more and more powerful in the Lord. You never stop doing that. Secondly, the example of the beehive. This happened today. Outside my side window by where the kitchen is, there's like a little gazebo. I like to go out there to read and sit out there, you know, and stuff like that sometimes. And it's all getting nice out here. So I saw this big, gigantic bumblebee-looking thing. A big bumblebee. I guess it was a bumblebee. And then there was two. Then there was three. So I go out to take the regular, you know, I went out and bought some wasp spray stuff. I was going to go out there and spray where I think they were going to try to build a nest. So I spray. All of a sudden, 5, 6, 7, 10, 15, one of them comes zinging down, hits me right in the head. Man, I had to get back in the house quickly. They were like swarming, big, gigantic. I asked my wife, are those yellow jackets? Or no, she said, those are big, big bumblebees just hanging in the air, you know. So I got to still deal with that because I told her she couldn't, I wasn't going to let her go out there. So I hit the hive with the spray, and sure enough, it wasn't three or four. All of a sudden, 18 of them were there. Retaliation from the demonic, 5 points. Here we go, 5 points. You ready? Are you ready? Okay. 5 points, retaliation from the demonic. Number one, like the beehive, simply demons get angry. Mark down Psalm 44. Sometimes demons just get angry. I mean, you deal with a demonized person, demons get angry with you when you come to use the authority of Christ, obviously. You read Psalm 44 in the beginning of the chapter, first 8 verses, Israel, they're talking about all the victories and all the things God gave them until you come down to about verse 16. It says, you know, all these bad things begin to happen. All this bad stuff happens to them. I mean, destruction, plunder, all these things. And it says, here's what it says in Psalm 44. Because the enemy was bent on revenge. Someone puts in the chat room about those bumblebee surveillance bugs or drones. Because Tom Dunn was here on Saturday and there was a couple of them out. And sometimes they just buzz off away from your head, like 3 feet away from your head. They just sit there in the air. And I said, Tom, look slowly to your left. It's a drone. either way, got to deal with them. So, number one, under retaliation of the demonic, the demons are angry anyway. Psalm 44 talks about the revenge of the enemy. And you can look at Revelation 12, where the enemy knows his time is short. I'm just telling you, there's times the demonic realm, in a revenge factor, in an angry, they're just mad, and they want to come after you, okay? Well, so what? Okay, what's fear going to? How's fear going to help you? It doesn't. Faith does. Praise God, praising God, but rebuking. Ask the Lord. Lord, destroy. When I leave big deliverance things on my way home, I'll even cover myself on the way home. Lord, if the enemy's angry, if demons, you know, they're mad, they got kicked out, you know, come against them, destroy the work of the enemy. I just cover myself and go on. Okay. Next, number two, victims. The victims have subpersonalities that can release demons on you. While you're looking at the victim in the face, talking to a certain personality, a subpersonality that's cult loyal, that has demons, can, if you feel like you're getting headaches or confused or things coming against you, whatever, it may be from the inside. I learned from the inside, dealing with any victim, just to have prayers up. And if I feel anything coming at me, I begin to inwardly, even while I'm looking at them talking to the main person, pray against all the demonic stuff. Okay? Number three, you may be given demonized gifts sent in the mail, brought to your church, given to you, just uncanny, a gift given to you, you know. Why are victims bringing you gifts and giving other gifts and giving a gift to the church? A demonized object. Now, if it's a SRA MPD, the main person may think that it's just a simple, you know, candle thing. But if the cult demonized personality inside charged it by getting a demon on it through a ritual, then it can cause you trouble. Demonized gifts, you know, you got to be wary of gifts and why, and I warn you not to drink and eat anything, even if it's a nice multiple SRA victim that made you something, said, here, I made something for you. You just got to say, listen, the policy is by rule, nothing personal here. We cannot do that. We cannot eat anything. Very important. Because why? In some cases, individuals confess later. They put urine in it. They put blood in it. They put stuff. They've done things to it. Number four, the coven could be mad at you and summon demons in a ritual spite and send them against you. Number five, there can be astral projection by coven members or others that are empowered by the demonic to come and, you know, harass you and so forth. So five A's, awareness, alert, authority in Christ to decimate the enemy, armor of God on for your protection, and action. And you'll be fine. You'll be absolutely fine. Take a deep, deep read of Psalm 91 and know that God is with you, protecting you as you are under His, yielding to Him and under His protection. Okay? So number one, demons can be angry, just come at you. Number two, victims can have sub-personalities that release demonic stuff against you. Number three, demonized gifts. Number four, rituals covens do to send demons against you. Number five, coven members astral projecting to visit you to bring harm, and that's empowered by the demonic. So if you ever feel anything like that, just go ahead, use the authority, just clear the air, rebuke anything demonic, command anything demonic to be destroyed, broken. Ask the Lord to I even ask the Lord to attack the demonic side sometimes when I feel this. Now we got 7 minutes left. Okay. 7 minutes left here, and I want to give you this. Retaliation from the perpetrators. Number one, perpetrators, first of all, will seek to gather information on you. Perpetrators will seek to gather information on you to see if they can find vulnerabilities. Perpetrators can seek information on you by having a subpersonality in the victim you're working with that's loyal to them, and the inside subpersonality is going to ask you a lot of questions, want to know things, want to know everything about you. When you get a subpersonality, I mean, just scouring you for information, that means probably the outside handler, coven person is gathering information on you, wanting to know everything about you. They all seek information. Usually that's first before anything else is done. Number two, on perpetrators retaliating. You get phone calls, hang-ups, phone calls with, you know, crazy languages, letters that might have ritual items in it, blood, symbols, pictures that are sent to you. We had all of these things done numerous times. Number one, they seek information on you. Number two, calls, letters, and pictures they begin to send to you. Number three, retaliation perpetrators, they may put symbols on your car, symbols on your house, pentagrams, markings, all kinds of things. You know, that could include, you know, a dead animal on your porch. Riding something with animal blood on your car. That's when it's getting a little more serious because they want to scare you. Once again, take pictures of it, pray against everything of it, wash it off, get rid of it all. Number four, retaliation perpetrators, number four, a nonviolent visit. Might be a nonviolent visit. They show up at church. Hi, just want you to know, I know the person you're working with. How you doing? In other words, it's kind of a polite way of them showing up where you don't have anything on them. They just want to show up and get in your face and let you know that they're watching, observing. You know, they might follow you. You get in your car, they might follow you all the way home. They might follow you around. You might go somewhere and see them, you know, at one place, and all of a sudden you see them at three or four other places where you go. So kind of a nonviolent visit, following you type stuff to intimidate you. Number five, there may be a violent attempt. One of our guys, they came and decimated his truck, ripped it to shreds. One guy we had, they put a bullet. That's a nonviolent visit in a sense, but they put a bullet on his top of his car. It's a possibility. 95% of the time, it doesn't occur. But I'm here to tell you that God is bigger, God is greater. Psalm 91, God has protected us again and again and again and again and again. And I give praise to God. I give thanks to God because ultimately, like Isaiah 58, ultimately, like, you know, Psalm 91, you know, the Lord has delivered us again and again and again and again. Remember the story of Pharaoh when the Israelites were doing the right thing, getting out, being delivered, going? When Pharaoh finally got so mad that he went after them to, you know, harm them, did God step in? Did God bring Pharaoh down? What about in the book of Acts? In the book of Acts, when King Herod got up and took all the glory and he was going to be, you know, he would have opened the door for persecution and would have been against Christ in the church. One angel of God came with a sword and touched him. Josephus, the non-Christian Jewish historian, said that that king filled up with maggots and in 5 days he died. The book of Acts shows that as in the book of Acts, God brought him down. So I'm going to tell you that we don't pray, you know, God go kill people. We do pray for protection. We do pray God either save them like Saul of Tarsus, save them like that. Like you got in there and you brought Saul of Tarsus to his knees and you saved him. Or if you have to, Lord, if they're going to slice up a baby and cut up a baby in a ritual against us, Lord, if they don't get saved, if they don't want to come to Christ like Saul of Tarsus, then deal with them like you dealt with Pharaoh. So we've prayed numerous times in the past in serious cases, Lord, whatever it takes. And we've watched over the years God step in. Now listen, we are down to a couple of minutes, and we had a lot to tell you about tonight. Grateful for Tom Dunn coming into the second hour. Grateful for you to be here. We have more people this third hour than we've had the entire night, so we're glad that all of you are here. If you didn't get the first 6 weeks or if you didn't get the first couple of hours, check tomorrow afternoon. All the archives, including everything tonight, I'll put up on the shatterthedarkness.net/SIIU. Or just go to shatterthedarkness.net and scroll down a little bit and you'll be able to click that right there and you will have everything. We're down to exactly 2 minutes. Anybody want to shoot in one or two questions as I pray? Just go ahead and throw in a question if you need to. Father, bless all that have been in the class tonight. Minister to everyone. Keep everybody safe. Strengthen each and every one. And Lord, we ask you to bless and encourage, give wisdom, and give great boldness to everyone here in our work. And I pray, speak to all of us out of Isaiah 58, your grace and mercy. Question in the chat, did you see the RT, the Russian Times vid on Imprisoned by Insanity? I am sorry, I have not yet. I will click that out of there. I will copy and paste that, and I will look that up and see what I can find, okay? Keep the prayers up. I need your prayers. Keep us in prayers. Keep us in prayers about the northern state, what we're doing up in North Ohio, what we're going to do down in Mansfield, Ohio, and so many things going on. Glad that you're here. Please continue to study. Please continue to seek the Lord and keep asking God. Now, when you look at the homework page in this week, look tomorrow, later tomorrow afternoon when I have the archives up, I'll have some homework for you. Keep, if you haven't got a hold of Tom Wedge's book, The Satan Hunter, read that. If you haven't got Program to Kill, read that. If you haven't got Secret Weapons by Dale Griffiths, there's resources for you to see the facts and the figures. Question real quick, what happened to the frog from way back in the early show? Tell you the truth, after we said that prayer, I haven't heard or seen the little frog the entire rest of this night. I'm sorry, we have only 10 seconds, and we just want to simply say, God bless you, we love you tonight, and we will see you.